I'm Humphrey Hawksley, and thank you for joining the Magazine Show podcast brought to you by Golster, the experts in health and well-being, with a range of fascinating guests who stimulate, educate, and make us laugh. Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Humphrey Hawksley, your host on the Golster Magazine Show, where we welcome our live and interactive audience who are with us now and our Golster podcast listeners who are hearing us later. And today we're talking about courage, the fire in our bellies, throwing in fresh firelighters if necessary, and honesty about ourselves. My guest is in California, which is why we're doing this in the evening hour time. She writes music, books, and motivates. She looks fantastic and mystical. More on that soon. And welcome Glenda Benavides to the Golster Magazine Show.
Thank you, Humphrey.
now, didn't you have a union flag down there that we were talking about to show? Yes, because we've got an election coming up tomorrow. Well, the next
really?
Day. Yes.
Wow.
We have a change of government.
We've got a treason day coming up, which is on the 4th.
Yeah, you have. That's the same day as our election.
Okay. Happy treason day.
Happy treason day. But this is not a political show, although we can talk about anything you want or anything our audience wants. And I am encouraging our audience, because it is a wonderful summer's evening here, to ask questions and to flatter, challenge, and whatever you want to do with Glenda, because she's a wonderful person. Now, in one of your inspiring tips in your books, and you ask a fundamental question that we should all ask ourselves, and that is, who am I? I tried asking it to myself. I'm still working out that answer, but I want to bounce that back to you. And I say, Glenda, who are you?
I love it. You know, there are facets of all of us, and we're different at different periods of our life, you know, who we want to step into, who we want to be. But, you know, there is a core essence of all of us, and it's up to each person to actually really dig in and go, who am I? You know, and, you know, to answer that question for myself, I would say I'm somebody that loves people, loves to make a difference, and really cares. I really care about our environment. I care about music. I care about touching people's hearts. I care about uplifting humanity. Period. So that's who I am right now.
Okay, I'm going to take that, and after the show, I'm going to ask myself that question and see how many of those points I touch. Do we all care about humanity? Do we all like touching people's hearts? Everybody that's here now, ask that question and put it in the comment and chat, and we'll come back. Who are you? And I can see you're there, Rebecca. Tell us, put it in the chat. Tell us who you are. Now, you said different stages of our lives. Mm-hmm. Tell us all about your childhood, where you were born, how you were brought up, how that molded you into asking that question first as to who you were, where you came from.
Very interesting. Well, I was originally born in Oakland, California. Some of you may or may not know, but that's kind of it's in Northern California. It's like not too far from San Francisco. They call it the Bay Area. So I was born there and grew up there till about 7, 8. And there was a lot of challenges because we kind of lived in the ghetto. So at that point, there were like rioting and things like that. And my parents decided, you know, I think we should move. And so they moved us up to Oregon, which is a lot like the UK. It's the environment, the beauty, the nature, you know, that type of thing. And so we moved up there, and I started my upbringing there. And I was fortunate enough to have had family, my parents, I'm an only child, around me, that they never said, this is who you need to be, or why aren't you doing this, or you should do this. You know, I was very fortunate. I know that's not everyone's journey. So I was very fortunate to have not had that environment. They were always like, oh, okay, you want to do that? Okay, fine. You know,
can I just jump in as a question that crossed, is that you were fortunate, and I was fortunate too, because I didn't have that either. But but when you are an adolescent or growing up with parents that want you to be something, it gives you something to push against, doesn't it? If they want you to be a doctor or a lawyer, you actually know what you don't want to do. Instead of, did you find yourself not quite knowing because you?
No, I knew.
Oh, straight off.
Yeah. Yeah, straight off. I was like, again, I'm just like, sometimes I feel like guilty. Like, why, where's my struggle? So I could, you know, I mean, of course I had struggle later on in life, but, you know, early days, it was like, I just kind of, when I was in grade school, we were fortunate to have music still in the school. These days they you have to pay for all that privately.
Right.
I just messed around with that, and I realized I had a voice that I could sing, and I just did that because I just did it. I don't know why. And then I just noticed that I was, you know, in school, those type of things, I was evolving, growing. I was just, it was naturally, the energy was moving me into, I get to be a singer. You know,
okay.
And then at some point, I think I was like about 13, and I was walking through the hall of my junior high. And I asked myself the question. I said, why do you want to be a singer? Why do you want to be famous? Or, you know, that, you know, you're, 'cause you're coming from a child's frame of mind. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I said to myself was, I want to make a difference. I want to inspire people. And I've just always done that, and I've done what made me feel good, and then when it didn't make me feel good, I would evolve to something else.
So that is, am I right in saying that you felt you had what they called a calling? You knew what you wanted to
do. Yeah.
And it was music.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us then. I'm going to go off my own piece a little bit here. Tell us about your music. Tell us where it brought you to.
Well, again, different stages, different things. I went from folk music to rock music to top 40, that type of thing. And then realized at some point, if I wanted to sustain my career, and that meaning make more money, I would need to write music. And that was what I thought, you know? And so then I, you know, there are several points in my life where I shifted. You know, I never thought I would not be in music. I always made money. I always toured. So it wasn't, there was never like, oh, I'm not going to do that. It was just evolving into, oh, who am I doing it with? And am I in alignment with them?
Okay. Okay. So I would, I'm sort of tempted to ask you now to give us a bit of your voice. Give us a few bars of the most inspiring song that you have. And then I've got another question for you.
You're so funny. Now I wish I would have known this. I would have warmed up. I'm just, I love singing. So I will definitely sing. You guys hang on. I might suck. Okay. Okay. I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I never had. Never had no kissing. Who would I been missing? A lover man, where can you be? A lover man, where can you be? Again, it's morning, so.
I know. I mean, I love that. Now, tell us about that song, which is familiar, I think, and where that touches those buttons that you talked about earlier on as who am I? The caring, the love, that sort of thing.
You know, everything has a vibration. So it's an old song from probably the 30s or 40s. Everybody did it. It's like a classic. It's like top 40 of 1940s, you know, and it's called Lover Man. And everybody did it. Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, you know, it's classic, right? So I just, you know, I the melody really touches my spirit, you know. It moves around, it makes you feel your heart, you know, that type of thing. And so, and I think that's the closer we can get to our spirit, closer we can get to our heart, the closer it is we can ask those questions, you know, because the rest will fall away. The rest will be like, who am I? Who am I today? You know, I'm happy today, or I'm angry today, or I'm something today, or what's, you know, and then you kind of get to go deeper, you know, well, what am I not doing? What am I not saying? What am I not being today that expresses me?
So the version of that song that I like the best is Billie Holiday's version.
Right.
And she, you know, magnificent, but a bit of, was she a hero or a tragedy?
Both. Both. You know, and that, I think that was, I don't know much about her, but I know that that was, I'm sure that was a way, A, to make money, you know, B, as a woman in that time period, to express herself. Probably she could make some money, express herself, you know, and then she could release the pain. Because sometimes, you know, depending on where we are in our life, who we are, what culture we're coming from, if you can express through tone, through the voice, you can release pain. You know, you can release that. And then you can also feel like you've been expressed, like something or someone heard me, even if it's just the universe.
Yeah, that's that is. And as you were saying, I think she was the first, one of the first Black singers to be allowed from Harlem to go down to play at the Village Vanguard in New York. So she broke ground as well as doing all that. But and we are going way off piece here. Rebecca says, thank you, Rebecca. And this was in answer to the question, is who are you? I wrote a poem to explain me. I want to be a shining light, a guiding beacon on the darkest night, so others see a helping hand, a way to navigate the sky, the sea, and the land.
Beautiful. That's good. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yes. And hopefully you'll be able to talk directly to Rebecca when we go. Rebecca also says you have a very jazzy voice. Pauline Blasey, a beautiful, rich voice. We forgive the wobbles. Humphrey put you on the spot.
Totally dead.
Yeah, I'm sorry about it.
It's what makes it real life, right?
That, but you know, it's why we're going to be like one of those electric cars that tries to stop you changing lanes. We are going to now talk about your book, Courage, Find Your Fire and Ignite Your Action in Life. And I want to say before we talk about the book that the cover, for our podcast listeners and anybody, you have waist-length red hair, thigh-length red velvet or leather boots. You've got a blackish sort of everything else, and you're crouching down with a hand on the ground looking at the camera. It says, show us that.
Okay, so that was the first version. Okay. Here is the second.
Oh, were you told to tone it down a bit?
You know, it's so funny because when I originally wrote the book and had it published, I paired it with my Goddess album. And so that was the picture of the Goddess album. And on that, I paired it with the book, Courage, Find Your Fire and Ignite Action in Your Life, being self-expressed, right? And so that went out. And then I got some comments back from key people in the industry. And they said, you know what, your picture is awesome and everything like that, but this is more... would drive people more to, you know, want to know what's in the book, not just, you know, Glenda the artist, you know what I'm saying? So I had this redesigned and I love it.
And which one sold the best?
This one right now.
This one, So you've mentioned the Goddess. Tell us about your Goddess concept.
Global Badass Goddess.
Go on.
I want more. Well, it all started in my kitchen. Now, I had a girlfriend of mine. We were hanging out, the bunch of us girls, and we were hanging out, and she she came up to me and she said, you know, you're a real badass. And I looked at her like, what do you mean? You know, and I think a lot of times too, we think of, you know, being a badass as being somebody mean, aggressive, you know, uptight, angry, whatever, and a bullying people or something, right? And so I was just like, no. At first I went, no. And then I realized that what she was saying wasn't that exactly. She really meant that I was really taking on my life in a real, in a more powerful way, right? And so I decided I'm going to accept that as a compliment, you know, not as a pushback or like some kind of like, I have to be mean and aggressive. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to redefine that. And it, one thing led to another. I started a podcast. I did a magazine, you know, and just so I could feature other women and really stepping into that part of ourselves that is empowerment. And that's where I was, you know, being self-possessed, being truly ourselves, asking those deeper questions, right? And so, and then I thought, I'm gonna take this badass and I'm gonna turn it into an acronym. And so I wrote beautiful for B, A for accessible, D for daring, A for abundant, S for savvy, and then S for sassy or sexy, if you want. And then, yeah, it was just, I just said to everybody, you know, do your own acronym, you know, put yeah. whatever you want in badass, you know, and step into it.
Oh, that's great. So now if any of our audience have got different acronyms for badass, put it in. We'll have a little competition. Put it in there and make it up and we'll look at it at the end. So I just want, so you're sitting in your kitchen. I mean, you say you're not being mean or aggressive and actually, but in order to be yourself and know yourself, you do have to push back against things. Rather, like you said, you're thankful your parents didn't.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do anything? Lots of people do. Talk about that a bit. Yeah.
You know, I look at it as not pushing back, but stepping away. Okay. So when someone comes at you, it's martial arts. Move out of the way.
Okay.
Just step out of the way. Don't push back because you'll keep it in place. Whatever that negative energy is or the aggression or whatever, just like, okay, I got it. You know, like that's your opinion or... You don't have to say anything, but just move out of the way. And that works a lot better because it diffuses the energy.
Yeah.
It just diffuses it.
So just sort of move around it psychologically or physically. And then you made a whole album out of that. Yeah. Tell us. Yeah. So you did what, 16 tracks of badass music?
No. You don't get paid for 16. Forget it.
Tell me.
No, I did a, how many tracks there was? 6 or 8 or something like that, an EP. Yeah. 10 is the usual album format, 10 tracks. But it was more of a signature, you know, goddess with courage. You know, I was trying to pair the two, you know, like what would those things be? Like Own That. I had a song, it's called Own That. And that's very fun. That's very...
Come on, let's hear it.
No, I know.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you before we sign off this recording, I'm going to ask you to sing again. I'm giving you a sort of a little heads
so
up.
So bad.
Yeah.
You're so bad.
I'm a badass. I'm a badass.
You are. Let's hear yours, Humphrey. What's your acronym?
I'll maybe Rebecca can help me do another acronym for it. I'll check the chat and see who's in there. Now I want to go through some of the points because, you know, what you're saying here is a really important thing that we all, and interestingly, we had on Britain's most eminent philosopher the other day, and he was talking about exactly the same thing, but in philosophical academic terms, you know, and so it's something that we love talking about in gossip. There is a phrase that you have in your book, self-love.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Again, it's different for everybody, but it's really the act of wanting to acknowledge and take care of yourself. So what does that mean for you? You know, for me, it may be a massage. for you, it may be, please don't touch me. You know, I need to hear music, or I need a nap, or I need to eat some food that really, really nurtures me, you know, things like that. Or, you know, maybe it's an act of self-love is, I'm sorry, you're not in my life anymore.
Okay. Thank you. Is protecting yourself from...
Without protecting yourself. Protecting yourself is more like, it's more like a discernment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when I first, this phrase first crossed my desk, and I'm on a little bit on, we're a little bit on different planets on our sort of everyday life, I think.
Yeah.
But I thought the only person, people I know that self-love is our former Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, you know.
So that is not self-love.
It's not self-love.
No.
Well, that is narcissism, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
We have, before I move on to the next one, we have some acronyms here.
Pauline, goody.
Pauline, this is badass. Bold, amusing, determined, adventurous, simply smoking.
Wow.
I like that, Pauline.
That's awesome.
I like that a lot. And
yeah.
Rebecca... Brave, appreciative, doting, artistic, sharing, yeah. Sassy. Or sexy, could we say that? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Nothing wrong with embracing our sexiness.
I'm just going to repeat the title of your book, and then I want to go into some of the more detail. Find Your Fire and Ignite Your Action in Life. This is for people that feel that they could be getting more out of life, but don't quite know how.
Yeah. You know, it's my journey. And it really started with, I was sitting back going, do I have anything to say of value? You know, kind of leading with my, I want to make a difference. I want to uplift people and stuff like that. And because I never thought I'm going to write a book. I'm a musician, you know, but I thought, well, how hard could it be? So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do an outline. First of all, I'm going to figure out what I have of value that's important. And I kind of knew that just because I had some girlfriends. They would always call me. They'd always ask me questions about this and that or whatever. And I'd be kind of weirdly coaching them in like a strange way, not mentoring or something. I don't know. I don't consider myself that either. Maybe just sharing and helping them resolve their conflicts and challenges. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I just thought, you know, I'm gonna see what I have of value. So I thought, okay, let me do that. So I did an outline and I thought, how hard could this be? I'm like, how many chapters? 15. I don't remember how many I have in there now, but you know, and when I started, and then I went, I'm gonna do a chapter a day. And yep. Boom, I did a chapter a day. I wrote the book in 15 days. And then I went, okay, great. And then I took a break. And then I came back and I read through it and went, wow, okay, somebody, that's a run-on sentence. and so I worked it again. I read through it again, worked it, you know, put it down, moved. I was in the East Coast with my music partner. And he wanted to move out to California. So we did. And moved back. He moved out here, and then a wonderful mentor and coach of mine. I said, "Would you just read this and see what you think?" So I sent it to her. She was like, "Oh my goodness, that's really great. You need to get it published." I went, "What?" And I went, "Okay." And she goes, "I have an editor for you." And so I called her, and she said, "Yeah, this is a great book. Let me edit it." So that's how it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you had the two covers, one of your album. And
the goddess. And then.
So I'm going to just go through stuff because one of the thoughts we have on Goldster is nothing such as assumed knowledge. And I'm going to go through the sort of bullet points that you have going through and ask you to talk through them. So we've done self-love. And Suri, incidentally, in our chat says self-love is self-preservation a state of nature. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a self-preservation, okay. What do you mean by your truth?
Well, everybody has a way of looking at the world and their life. And it's usually from belief systems, behavior patterns, that type of thing. And that's kind of where it sits. And then when you look through that, you look through that lens, then you start to see your belief systems and how you want to be in life, you know, that type of thing. And that's kind of, I think that's what I really meant.
Because I've heard people talk about somebody being a true person. Mm-hmm. I think that in the world of, I don't know what it is, social media and rotten politics and everything like that. And I do remember one of our politicians, it might have been Donald Trump, saying, you know, when somebody said, well, that's a lie, they said, well, there's your truth and my truth. But this is something different, isn't it?
Your truth is, you know, again, how you, what the lens you're looking through. And it doesn't mean that you can't change it. You know, and it doesn't mean that it's not a fact or, you know, I mean, I think that's where the distinction sometimes comes in with, especially when it comes to politics. You know, your truth may not be based in fact, you know, it may not be based in you know, what's your mantra? You know, your mantra is like, I need to win and make as much money as I can and hurt whoever I can on the way up because it doesn't matter. Or it could be, you know, I want to do business that really uplifts people, you know, both are like, you know, realities and, you know, and then of course there's stacks of belief systems underneath that.
But then that first one about the person that wants to kill everybody on the way up and become rich, powerful and cruel and everything. Do they, I mean, we can't answer this, but do they ever say, who am I?
And they probably not.
and they think this is what I want to do. And this is what I'm going to do to achieve it. And that is the right thing to do.
Yeah. I think there's layers. I think, you know, I mean, obviously I'm assuming, you know, I'm not, I don't know Donald Trump or anybody, those type of people, but I'm assuming that they're on their journey and it's probably not one of, and then their belief system is going to, they're going to believe that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing unless they change their mind, right? Or unless they awaken to something different. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, exactly. Not enlightened. Yeah. So it's a tricky one. And I kind of go back to where are you in alignment with yourself?
Yeah.
And if you are on a path of what's right for you, you will draw in those right people. And you will also draw in people that challenge you. And then that's up to you to go, that don't feel good. I'm not really interested.
Did you in your journey, because becoming hugely successful, you do something that you now look back on and think that was bad, or I shouldn't have treated this person as badly?
My first husband.
Well, was that a mistake, or you treated him badly?
No, he was a fabulous person. I had was a belief system that was running was, and it was, I'm not. My belief system was, I'm never getting married. Okay. I don't want to get married because of watching my parents and their scenarios. And I was like, not that. And so, I got married late in life. I was in my 20, I think I was 24 or something. Great guy, don't get me wrong. Fabulous human being. Love him, love him. And then I got married and then the spell happened. I'm not getting married. And so, you know, and it's a subconscious stuff. This is not conscious. You know, this was like, why don't I want to be intimate with that person? You know, I just married them. I love them, but they feel like my brother, you know? So it was like a really weird thing to the point where I ended up getting divorced because I made some really bad choices. So yeah, there's some regret there.
And how many years or months or weeks or days did it last?
A year.
Okay. So you had so that for you would be a tumultuous year psychologically.
Oh yeah. 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 Lots of learning, lots of growing, either to wake up or not, you know.
And knowing, and asking yourself all the time, who am I?
Not at that time. I mean, there was always something floating around in the background, you know, like, what do I want? You know,
Yeah, I did. You give a sort of step by step thing in the book to move through, and there's some things I plucked out of it. Willingness is your first one. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Are you willing to look at yourself? Are you willing to look at the ugly, the pretty, the belief systems? Are you willing? Are you willing to do that? Because if you're not willing, it's just going to be putting like icing on a mud pie. You're just stacking crap on, you know. But you have to go, you know what? There's something wrong here. Like I just had a, I just did some shadow work probably for like a year. And it was, I just knew that I felt stuck. Like there were some things that I felt stuck with. Some personality things or something like that. You know, I'm really aware of like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm aware of that. But how do I overcome that? All my other work was kind of inching me through it. But I was just like, no, it's not working. I feel afraid every time I come up to X, you know? And so I think I was sharing it with someone and my girlfriend, and she's like, oh my goodness, you got to work with this woman. Karen Green is her name. She's out of Sweden. And she's a fabulous shadow worker. She does shadow work. Carl Jung, you know, his work, shadow work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I did it for a year. Fantastic. Talk about breakthroughs.
God, that's, it's sort of the whole element there that you've come into. Before I go on to the next one, we have a comment here from Emma. We are born in families and communities where we are handed down scripts which define us.
Yes.
We take them along to some point and begin to realize that that's not who I am. It is when realization hits you that you choose to write and live your own script.
Yes. Beautifully said.
That is beautifully said, isn't it?
Beautifully said, yeah. Emma. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is exactly what you've been talking about. And does that reflect that first year of marriage you had? Is that you sort of came upon a script that you didn't like, or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I use a different word. I call it a hex. I hexed myself, you know. And it's like when you're a child, you know, you see your parents and you love them, or whatever experience you're having, right, based on your own thought. And then, you know, at some point, I just went, I don't want to. I don't want to be married. I don't want that. I don't want that. Yes. And I was throwing the baby out with the bathwater at that point. I didn't know that. And so in essence, I took my program and I went, you're not going to get married, you know, put that in there.
Yeah. And because Emma says she's got an addendum to what I too knew from early on that I didn't want to marry, but got pregnant and had to be married because society said so.
Wow.
You weren't a society said so marriage, were you? You were a heart in the wrong place marriage.
No, the heart was there. It was just the subconscious program script, if you will, was saying, do not get married. Oh no, you're married. You shut down. Boot, abort.
Which I think brings me on to the next word I'd plucked out from your step by step thing. After willingness, you talk about commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. And commitment. So that's a scary thing for some people when they hear the word commitment. And really, commitment is empowerment. Because once you find you're in touch with the true you, and you see something that you want, or the person you're with, or it could be anything, could be a career, whatever, then when you're in alignment with that, then you can also allow yourself to be committed to that. And that should be a freeing, joyous experience, a commitment. It's about accountability and responsibility. And I know those are like weird trigger words for people because it sounds like slavery or being suppressed, you know, or oppressed, you know. And it's really not that, because if you embrace something that you love, that you're in alignment with, commitment's easy.
Yes. So commitment and alignment, that's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you can commit to your career or your work because you love it. You can commit to marriage that you love it, but you might not be able to commit to both because your work or marriage might conflict.
Or you just might have to be organized.
you commit to being organized. So willingness and commitment are both good things.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not bad things, but you do have to work them through.
Absolutely. And then as you're doing that, then you can start to see the stuff bubble up. Like, I didn't know I had a belief system about that. That's interesting. You know, and then you can go, do I want to solve that? Or do I want to not solve that? You know, just on a little habit trail.
Would I be right in saying that you had a commitment to your music, but more than that, that's a natural thing within you from childhood. So it's more a heart commitment than a head commitment.
Yeah.
And anything that took you away from that would not work.
No. And I think that's so clear and solid inside of me, going back to clarity.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that you don't attract people automatically. So, and there were times where I'd be like, why doesn't that guy like me? You know, why am I alone in a hotel room? You know, and you start to realize it's like, because you're frightening, you know, you're not the typical person. You're not going to be somebody that they're going to capture and marry, you know, because you already have as Emma says, a script. You already have that saying, we're not going to do that. And so why would that energy go out? It's not. It's going to go out and say, no, thank you. And okay. So once you start to identify that, then you can empower yourself to go, okay, that's me. I either A, want to like resolve that inner conflict or that script or that belief system, and I want to shift that, or I'm going to go, no, that's not me. Don't worry about it. Don't be upset. You know, some guys are just not going to like that. And that's okay, because you're not aligned with someone that's disempowering you.
And
you know,
And the question that comes from that is it difficult, because once you've found your own clarity, who you are, and you know what you want to commit to and the willingness, and we've got one more to come to after this, but is it difficult to explain that to somebody, or do people naturally understand what you're talking about?
And inside of what, willingness?
Well, the balance in life. What we're talking. I mean, you have a passion and natural talent for music.
Mm-hmm.
But if in order to pay the bills, you had to become an accountant in a real estate agency, or you fell in love with a man who said, well, you know, but you can't do your music. You've got to look after the kids and paint the house. Then what happens inside you?
No.
That's just that's where the badass comes in, is it?
Exactly. Well, and no, exactly. You just it's so clear inside yourself that you, like I was saying, the energy goes out, that's those are boundaries. Like those are things. So though you're not going to attract that person. So you don't even really sometimes don't even have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like I would never get that person that would say, I want to marry you, but you can't do what you do.
Yeah.
And if it did happen, I'd be like,
I think Pauline agrees with you. I think if you are living an authentic life, you can handle the good and the bad and can say no, not take any toxic people or situation. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think there's a little bit more to this message. Oh, yeah. And then I think Pauline's saying, yeah, if you do what the scenario I said, you die. Simple as.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
You just die.
You ladies are happening on that end. What's going on with the UK? We're happening. I love this.
We're in some
badass goddesses
mood. We speak our minds. Now, I don't know if it's your last one. The other one I think we've touched on, retraining. That's a sort of title you use. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you just, you know, again, I was saying, you know, when those things pop up and you start looking at it from a real clear position that you're like, ooh, this is who I am. Ooh, that's that. Then you start to go, oh, okay, I need to readjust that. I need to dig into that. I need to let that go. I need to shift that. I need, you know, then you start down that path.
Okay. So the whole, if we can just recap, because we're closing time for our podcast listeners, the whole thing from the first realization that you want to do this, just talk us through it to get to where we're seeing you now.
I'm not sure if I understand what you mean.
So let's say from you realizing you had to get out of your marriage to where you are now, going through willingness, commitment, retraining, your truth, self-love. Just tie all that together for us.
Yeah. You know, it's been my journey. And I think that's when I said, when I was looking, do I have value? And then I really broke it down: clarity, courage, confidence, commitment, and community. And that's how it happens. It doesn't happen backwards, or you don't get courage if you can't have clarity, you know, those type of things. And so I've worked all those steps and continue to work those steps in my life. So, you know, I really speak to that from love and wanting to really empower and support people in general. And I think, you know, there's never one and done. You know, I feel like we're on a journey. We're in school, we're learning things, we're growing, and we're sharing. And then that's really important, you know, just looking at each other. Everybody has their intrinsic wisdom and their own experience. And the more that they live it and share it, the more we uplift everybody around us. And you never know who you're going to inspire. Like, there could be somebody like, wow, you said something that really made me want to look a little deeper, or I'm going to let that person out of my life. You know, like, not that you have to kill them or get rid of them, but I mean, just, you know, just like, no, thank you. You know, we're not in alignment anymore. I just kind of look through things through alignment. You know, but alignment only comes from that clarity.
Yeah, I like the concept of alignment. See, I'm learning something new. I'm going to come up, leave this show with a spring in my step. We are out of time for our podcast listeners. Emma has said that she hopes your book is on Amazon. It is on Amazon. I'm going to The Courage, Find Your Fire, and Ignite Your Action in Life. I'm putting that in the chat for our live audience, and your goddess website. Just tell us what that is.
You can go to Glenda Music, real simple, glendamusic.com. And then you'll see all my goddess stuff in there. And I'm preparing a 1-hour show that's coming up. It's got video, storytelling, music, my original music. And so fingers crossed, I'm going to get that out and we'll be touring. I'd love to come to the UK because that's my favorite place in the whole world. And I was just there for a month in May. and life was beautiful. I looked at fields. Yes.
And before we stop the recording, and I did warn you, give us a few bars of your favorite track from the Badass Goddess album.
Oh my Lord. You're just really challenging me.
Or you can sing Sound of Music. It's up to you.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, when you hear the tracks and everything, they're super lush and big and danceable and stuff. I won't do it justice.
All right. Yeah. Just give us a few. Give us your voice again.
Okay. I wrote a song and it's called, back in the 90s. It was my first song. I was, as I tell the story, it was a wax on, wax off moment. I had got off the road and my mentor at the time said, come and clean my toilets. And I'm cleaning the toilet going, who am I? Why is this happening? I was just on stage a week ago. I was like, break it down. And I said, I really want to write music. I really want to express that. And she said, okay, write me a song. You got 2 weeks, go. you're going to be on television and it's for a peace gathering. And I was like, So it's this song and it's called Change. And hope I can do it justice. We must look to the wind of the mountains. We must listen to the rain of the sun. We must all breathe for the life that we are all one. So change, change it now. Change it before it's too late. Change, scream it out loud. It's the time of change.
That is wonderful. People are clapping.
Thank you.
That is wonderful, and that thing in the voice. But we are, Time's Wing Chariot has attacked our podcast audience. And please find out more about our podcast by Googling Goals to Podcast. That's all you have to do. And you can hear, for example, Peter Hacker, our Goals to Philosopher about what it is to be human, similar sort of thing. Nigel Crisp, who used to run the National Health Service, and Lord Richard Dannett, who used to run the Army, and many, many more fascinating people. And thank you, the brilliant, charismatic, and compelling Glenda Benavides. Come
thank
back
you,
again, teach us more about music, self-love, and finding
thank
power.
You.
Yes, thanks, Glenda.
Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Goals to Magazine Show podcast. Check us out on www.goalster.co.uk. We hope to tempt you, your family, and friends into the exciting world of helping everyone live healthier and happier for longer. Find more podcasts just by Googling Goalster and podcast. I'm Humphrey Hawksley, and hope you're with us again soon.